Okay, we're going to read in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. It's 11 verses. We'll read the 11 verses in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Now, I don't know, that may not mean much to you as you read that, but right here you have the whole plan of God, and it is to build up His people until they are oaks of righteousness. And then when He does that, they are going to serve on the earth, among the nations of the earth, and the nations of the earth will realize that they are God's priests. And the end result will be that righteousness and praise will come up before all nations. This has to do with God's plan in the earth. And it starts off with His work with His people. And then when He has His people ready, He will return with them, and they will bless the peoples of the earth so that the peoples of the earth see righteousness and praise. And that's what God's doing. And we've had, I think, a word of exhortation and comfort today. What is happening to us is not random. You see, the church, the true church, the true people that God has called all over the world, God's Israel, are a minority. Sometimes we think we're like everybody else. We are not. The word church means called out. It's not really a noun, it's a verb. actually, in its meaning, and it means called out. And what we're called out from is the world. And I suppose we think that if the gospel is preached, a certain amount of people will believe and some won't believe. It's not like that. It's very carefully designed. As Christ said, no man comes to me except the Father draw him. I wish that were accented more in our preaching, because otherwise you get the feeling it's a kind of a lottery in which, you know, the lucky ones accept Christ and the unfortunate ones don't. But it's not like that. Every true Christian, and I say true Christian because the church in its machinations, its various operations, tends to bring in a mixed multitude of people. They are church members, but they are not called of God. And we're not called upon to decide who is who. In the days to come, trouble plus the preaching of the personal cross will tend to purify the church, and the mixed multitude will never, never accept the teaching that you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That message alone will purge the mixed multitude from the churches, people who are Christians by religion only, but have not been called by the Lord. If you've been called by the Lord, if you understand the blood atonement and you have felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, then you are what the Bible calls a saint. That does not reflect upon your behavior. It's not a description of your behavior. It's a description of the fact that God has called you holy. It means holy. And you're holy because God has chosen you out from the world. As I said, you represent a very small minority of earth's peoples. You are not of this world. As Jesus said, you are not of this world. I have called you out of the world. And we have been called out of the world that we might be trained as priests of God, so that when the Lord comes, and really in a certain respect, history begins when the Lord comes, because now we are in a probationary period. The greatest mistake you can make in life, if you're called to be a saint, is to put too much stress on this present world. The purpose of this present world is to prepare you for future ministry. And of course, you may have some practice at this time too. We don't relegate everything to the future. But the great revival of which the people speaks, of the nations of the earth, will come when the Lord returns. And at that time, he will have a priesthood. It's called a royal priesthood because they are kings as well as priests. And they will govern and cause the will of God to be done throughout the earth. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is coming. But it is not coming as Christ alone comes. It is as Christ comes with prepared people. And that preparation, as has already been alluded to this morning, sometimes can be very dismaying to us because we don't understand what God is doing and we think it's random or haphazard or the devil's got after us or something else, when it's actually God preparing us for when he comes so that we can perform Isaiah 61. So that because God loves the world, you see, God so loved the world, and he has not forgotten the people whom he's created, and he's not interested in sending them all to hell. It is not God's intention to send everybody to hell. The people that will go to hell finally or in the lake of fire are people who refuse to be redeemed. They just say, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to insist on my own way. And they're going to rush into destruction. That's the only way you can really wreck yourself is by refusing to be rescued from the ways of Satan. So no, the whole earth isn't going into hell because they haven't heard the gospel. That is not, that's foolish, foolish talk and totally unscriptural. Only people, the people in the lake of fire will be a minority. Thank God for that. But God's work throughout the 2,000 years of the church age has been for the purpose of preparing people who can return with Him and perform this work, because the peoples of the earth are staggering around in ignorance. They're dying by the millions. A million of them will die today, and some from starvation, and they don't know up from down. And the Muslims are being taught that they're supposed to kill Jews, and we've got, and then there's other religions that teach people to retreat from the world and try to get a better karma and all kinds of things. They don't know what they're doing. And the only person with the truth is Jesus Christ. And He has called us out from the world to know Him and to learn from Him, so that in the endless ages to come we can minister to people. And that's what this chapter is about. So it'll make some sense to you. Now, as for the priesthood, if you kindly look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Is that 1 Peter 3, 4? That isn't what I want. Yeah. Let's try 1 Peter 2, 4 and see if we have better luck. Yeah, that's a little more like it. As you come to Him, the living stone rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Now, it's this building up that causes dismay and causes pain, causes frustration and causes confusion in our parts. We don't realize, we don't always know how to cooperate with God, how to go to Him instead of blaming people or circumstances, which is folly and destructive. But when things are not going smoothly, we go to the Lord. And that's the purpose of it. That's the purpose of our problems, is to cause us to pray and seek God. Why? Doesn't He want us to be happy? Of course He wants us to be happy. But we're being prepared for something. We're being built up for something. There's a design on your life. That design, according to the New Testament, originated in God when He formed the world. Brought you forth at this time, under the circumstances in which you are in. And there's a design there. And you have to present your body a sacrifice, as the Bible says. You have to give yourself to God to find that design. It isn't going to just be dumped on you. You have to find that design. You have to seek the Lord at all times. You say, well, I can't seek the Lord at all times. Yes, you can. You just don't know it. You can spend your life making decisions based on your own motives and experience, or you can ask God about everything you're doing all the time. I recommend the latter. I've lived long enough to not trust my own judgment, my own desires. I don't trust them. You have intense desires. God will either change them or give them to you for good or bad. So watch your desires. So the things that are happening to you are by design. You say, well, this is a crazy quilt of unrelated circumstances. No, it's not. It's put together with the finest precision. All calculated to alter your personality in terms of people that God already knows to whom you will be ministering, some not yet born. So let's raise our sights this morning. We're not dealing with the President of the United States. We're dealing with God Almighty. He can do things that we don't dream of. But to you as an individual, I feel inclined to stress that this morning. There's a design on your life. There's something God wants. Now, God may have put you in some kind of a prison, some kind of circumstances that you do not enjoy. Those are designed to teach you faith and obedience. Everybody's got a cross of some kind. You look around at people and think they're happy. Well, you don't always know what's going on there. Don't go out of your prison. If you do, you're going to get arrested and put back in one, and your sentence is going to be longer. Stay with your prison. Stay with your cross. It's how God transforms you into His image so that you can serve Him and serve people. Well, we would like to serve people while we're happy and comfy and everything's right and the rent's paid and it's all perfect. That isn't how you serve people. You serve people out of your personal confusion. Yeah. We've got to be like Aaron's rod laid up in the holy place, a dead stick, before we can blossom and bud and bear almonds. We don't do it out of our natural Adamic joy. We do it out of the resurrection life of Jesus. So if God has you in a prison today, don't bolt and run. Pray. Well, I can't stand this for one more day. Well, you can stand it for another 30 years. You just don't realize it. But if you leave, you will frustrate the plan of God. And you won't be what God planned for you to be. And in the ages to come, you will be so sorry because you missed God's best for your life. So, for a short time, it's unpleasant. I know. I've had my own unpleasant experiences. For a short time, it's unpleasant. I agree with that. But life is not a bed of roses in any case. The wicked are not happy. So you might as well get some good out of your pain. So stay put. Unless God shows you plainly that you're to change your circumstances, stay put. All you're going to do is mess yourself up and betray those who love you and trust you and miss God's best for your life. So don't do that. As I say, there's a very careful design on your life. And it's not going to be a picnic. But as I said, it's not a picnic in any case. This world is not a picnic unless you're a complete fraud with no integrity and just bounce from pleasure to pleasure and are utterly worthless. Everybody has to pick up after you. But if you're a person and you want to do God's will for your life, stay where God has put you. Well, you say, I don't like it. So what? Someone said, I love this, get used to it. Get used to it. Because that's the way it is. And Jesus didn't say, take up your balloons and march after me in the Rose Bowl parade. What did he say? And the cross is an engine of destruction. You say, well, that's not pleasant to hear on Sunday morning. Perhaps not, but it leads to joy. I'm telling you the truth. What you want, you may not realize it. You may think what you want is a new car. That isn't what you want. What you want is love, joy, and peace. And the cross is the only way. I've lived long enough to see that. Try to make the way easy. You'll get deluded and end up 10 years paddling around in a swamp going nowhere. Take it the hit on the chin and do what's right. Be a person. And God will be with you and bring you through the most difficult circumstances. Better to go through this life with God than without God. Come on. Better to go through this life with God than without God. And all of our chastening, our frustrations are designed to make us what God wants us to be, and we've got all eternity to rejoice in it. But if we frittle away this little probationary period, then we've got eternity to think about the fact that in our hour of trial, we flunked. And we don't have to flunk. We can make it. Amen. Come on. Yes. People, we can make it. Yes. Because Christ is all powerful. And He sits as King of the flood. He's not confused and He's not weak. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, Jesus said. And that's the key to everything. We have over here on our west wall a banner. And it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Now, if I recall correctly, that's Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. What's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit? Everything that's worthwhile. The work of God, there is no more important lesson that we learn in the ministry and as Christian people than that God is building His own church and His own kingdom. If we're capable people, we are so prone to put our hand on the ark. Its ark is staggering around about to fall in the animal droppings. And we think, well, that can't be. God says, keep your hand off the ark. When you see the glory coming down the road, keep your hands off the ark. Let God do it His way. But there's so many things in life that Ford has a better idea. We think we kind of know what God wants, but we don't dare trust Him. It happens with young people as they get boyfriends and girlfriends and prepare to start a family. They think, well, maybe I better take care of myself. God helps those who help themselves. You're foolish. You're going to marry a package before you know what's in it. But God knows what's in it. And if it's right for you, it's always better to trust the Lord. But we have to, Irenia, we have to believe that God is seeking our joy. Because if we think God, like, well, that was brought up this morning, wasn't it? If we think God is someone else, that we get mad at God, you know, think that God is bad, we can't serve God because we don't trust Him. No, God is seeking our good. He's not seeking our pain. He's not seeking frustration. He's not seeking to break our hearts. That's not what He's doing. He is building us up to make us a royal priesthood. And the crown of that priesthood is the anointing. We get the word Jesus Christ from this verse. It means Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the one whom God anointed. Jesus, the anointed one. His name is Jesus. His last name isn't Christ. It's Bar Joseph or of Nazareth. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord. Now he's talking about the Father. You remember, this was Jesus' first sermon. And it was in his home church, home synagogue. And he stood up and opened the scroll of Isaiah. And the people were looking at him. He's a hometown boy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the Jews were sitting there. They'd heard that before from the rabbis 1,000 times. You want to remember, in those days, everybody didn't have a scroll. They had to memorize everything. Only the rabbi had the scroll. And they'd heard that. And they'd remembered it. Yes, that's wonderful. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Someday Messiah will come. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. And Jesus is standing there talking about the fulfillment and his Father's putting the Holy Spirit in his fullness on him. It's upon me. Imagine looking out at all those people and knowing what he was saying was going to drive them away. All of us, and there's several people in this church that are being trained up as ministers. I'm satisfied of that. Judge, I was so thrilled to hear what you said. That was really something. Pressing past the veil of darkness into the glory where the Shekinah is instead of the lampstand in the Holy Place. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. He's giving you insight into His Word. That's great. And others here, too, have shown that they really have grasped the kingdom message. And so, here he was, but you see what we have to be prepared to do. How many remember Isaiah 6 where he says, who will go for me? Who will I send? You remember that? Who will go for me? And I've heard that preached, but they don't preach the next verse. Because they preach that and they leave that and give an altar call and people come up to go, go. The next verse says, go and make this heart, people's heart heavy. And that's what Jesus knew he was going to do. He knew he was going to conduct a backdoor revival. He knew that. And he preached it anyway. They were ready to kill him. They were going to throw him off a cliff after he read a couple of verses here and explain them. Oh, we've got to be ready to preach in season and out of season. It really doesn't matter whether we're popular or people accepted or not. That's all immaturity. We've got to be ready to preach what God gives us, whether anybody likes it or not, because 2,000 years later, somebody will be preaching it because it's the Word of God, whether my little home synagogue believes it or not. It will change the course of Eastern and Western civilization. And so it is when we bear a true witness of God. It doesn't matter about the immediate. It matters if it was God. Come on. It matters if it was God. And if it is, it'll stand forever. Because every true witness of God testifies forever. And that's why Abraham is still talking to us today, and Moses and Daniel and the rest of them. Become a witness of God and you'll enter eternity. You take hold of immortality, as Jesus did here. How could those people in his little synagogue there, all content and busy with their goats and their chickens, how could they know that what they did by casting out the Son of God was going to be told over and over and over and over in every corner of the world? We don't know sometimes when we're brushing eternity. So we have to be careful to pray constantly that God will give us of his integrity, that we don't play the games of life. We're faithful, true, and honest. Because no matter what the immediate brings, it will all come out at the day of Christ, every idle word. Does he have time for that? Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Someone said he'll still be judging people when a sparrow has worn a mountain down to its base by sharpening his beak on it. He's got that long to judge people. Well, what did he anoint me to do? To preach good news to the poor. Let me just stop to preach good news. When I say to you, in the name of Christ, that if you're going to be a disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross at all times, and follow Christ. Now you tell me, is that good news? No, it doesn't come across as good news. It comes across as bad news. You say, if that's the good news, I hope I never hear the bad news. You know why it's not good news? Because you're not poor. That's why miracles are being done in the third world countries, but not in America. Because we're not poor. I'm not speaking only of money, although I have noticed when people are well-to-do, they tend to be arrogant and independent. And sometimes poor people are as proud as peacocks. So it's not strictly money, but in some ways it's related. But I'll tell you who the poor are. The poor are those who feel like they need help. They've just come to the end of themselves, and they're teachable. They're meek. Meek means teachable. They're not arrogant. So often, I think, in the charismatic move, we project more arrogance than we do meekness. It's kind of we's the people. Oh, we've got it, world. We've got power. We've got this and that and wealth and all our blah, blah, blah. You'll never hear from God with that attitude. He doesn't have that attitude. Remember the Lord said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Those are the meek. Those are the poor. And I will give you rest. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He's meek and lowly of heart. Is Christ. He's not. You'd never. The preacher said some months ago, we saw in the VCR there, you look at people, you'd never realize what Christ was like. The two don't. We look at this picture of the church, and we look at Jesus, and we look at the church, and we look at Jesus. You're not the same person. That's because we're Americans and we've got needs. And if I'm hearing correctly from the Spirit of God, we're going to be a lot needier in the future than we are now. And people, that's good news. Because if things continue on as they are in America, at the rate of the decline of morality and the fraud and corruption at all levels of government and everywhere you turn, dishonesty, rape, and murder, this is something that should be stopped. Am I correct? Or would you like to see it continue as long as you four and no more are okay? Do you feel for the people in the world? For the parents whose daughters left them, gone out and lived in a lesbian relationship, you feel for those people? The people that are robbed and cheated? We ought to. But we tend to be content. We've got enough to eat, got enough money, got what we want. We're not poor. We'll never hear from the Lord until we're poor. We'll never hear from the gospel until we're poor. It's good tidings to the poor. I like the Sermon on the Mount. Do you? It's in Matthew 5, verse 3 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Can you be rich when money and poor in spirit? I think it's possible. But as Christ said, it's very, very difficult. A rich person has to do many times the intensity of grasping Christ. And there were rich men who followed Jesus. In fact, the wife of Herod's steward followed him and supplied him because Herod didn't know it, but Christ was eating his stuff because his wife of his steward was one of Jesus' followers. Oh yes, and Joseph of Arimathea wasn't broke. Provide a tomb for Jesus. Oh yes, he has to have rich people, but it's hard, much more difficult for them than it is for people who are poor. I don't talk about material goods now. Because they know if I make it till next week, I'm doing good. That's the kind of person Jesus can hear. And God says, okay, I got something for you. I'll carry you through. I love the poor. Blessed are the poor. Can you just picture the white-robed carpenter's son, the rabbi, the teacher from Nazareth standing on the hillside, looking out at the people? Blessed are you poor. Poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, this is good news. There's a kingdom. Oh, think of it. Think of it, Sam. There's a kingdom. Oh, that's good news. Maybe we won't be like this forever with hardly enough to eat and not able to leave anything for our children. There's a kingdom coming. Wonderful. But the scribes and the Pharisees, who were well-to-do, didn't see it that way. Blessed are those who mourn. Are you mourning today? Are there those among us who are sorrowful of heart? You're blessed. You're blessed. Because there's no way to go but up. Blessed are the meek. You wouldn't believe that from watching the Christian churches, always would you? the teachable, the people who say, well, you know, we're trying to serve the Lord and do the best we can, and are ready to hear the voice of the Spirit. There's more beyond Pentecost. Oh, that's wonderful. Let's hear more about that. Sounds good to me. The meek, teachable people. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, I can't get enough of it. And of course, we're not talking here about imputed righteousness. You don't hunger and thirst for imputed righteousness. You accept it by accepting Christ. But after that, we need a hunger for righteousness, for holiness. Oh, Lord, plant that in us today. Give us a hunger for righteousness. Give us a hunger for holiness. Help us to be more obedient to God than we've ever been. Make this a beginning of days. The past, as was pointed out this morning, is behind us. It brought us to this point. We'll lay aside the baggage. Oh, God, I want more holiness, righteousness, and obedience to God. I don't have enough. I want more. Total honesty, total kindness, total compassion, total truthfulness. Total humility, genuine humility, humble of heart, hunger, for they will be filled. Imagine what it would be like to be filled with righteousness. Oh, hallelujah! That won't be totally true until the Lord comes and gives us a body of righteousness. And then our inner nature will crave righteousness and our body will crave righteousness. And guess what? We'll be righteous. That's what Paul was groaning for. Get me out of here, out of this body, not out of the earth, out of the body of sin and death. Some of you are looking at me kind of perplexed. Didn't you ever hear me preach that we ought to be hunger for righteousness? Blessed are the merciful. The Lord spoke to me about a person 61 years as a Christian, and God only told me this about one person. He said, that person shall not receive mercy because he has not shown mercy. And so I was trying to work up a little compassion for this person, and the Lord said, no. He has not shown mercy. And he shall not be shown mercy. God can speak that well, just as well as he can in loving kindness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know, the Bible says no man shall see God and live. So we have to die to the baggage. Has the Lord been dealing with you this last week about baggage? Anybody in here? I went on the baggage. Maybe some things in your life that are, that's not God's image. Why am I doing that? That's not God's image. Anybody in your life that? You don't have to slip up your hand. But just it's a rhetorical question. Well, let it go. Let it die. And you'll see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Of course, right now, that's only children. We lose that as we grow up. How wonderful to remain a child. Not childish. But childlike. How wonderful to be childlike. Trusting. Innocent. Not filled with bitterness and revenge. How we do get defiled as we grow up, don't we? Have you ever asked God about that? You'll see a little child, a little boy maybe, playing with a teddy bear. And then he grows up to be Adolf Hitler. How did that happen? It wasn't like that when he was 4 years old, playing with his teddy. How did he grow up to be Adolf Hitler? How do people change like that? It's frightening, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker? Are you anxious to find out the latest dirt? Huh? Did you hear what I heard about her? Oh, well, we do it, and we hadn't ought to. And we need to ask God, if we're gossiping, we're not making peace. Is that right? Thank you very much. If we're gossiping, we are not making peace. But it's so much fun to judge people. Yeah, it's fun because the devil's helping you. That's why it's fun. He's putting joy in your heart. Sick 'em. That's why it's fun. You taste it in your mouth. Oh, if I can just judge and criticize this person, how happy I'll be. That's what we do. Oh, well. I quit preaching and gone to meddle, and I can see that. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, not because you accepted Christ. You know, our government today is on a big campaign to spread democracy. Will you bear with me when I say that's the wrong message? The message is integrity. The nations need integrity. The rulers of the nations, some of the best forms of government in the world are in little villages where a patriarch rules and everybody's under his umbrella and the kids all are watched and everything. Wonderful government. And what we have is chaos. So the message isn't democracy. The message is integrity. If we preach that, what would the Muslims say? They're against democracy. They're not against integrity. But that's what we want. We think democracy will bring it, but it doesn't. Reminds you of the communists. They labor so the working man will have a place, and then all the communist leaders drive around in limousines. Phony. That's because our hearts are sinful. And plans like that don't change it. Blessed are you when people insult you. Has anybody insulted you lately? Peter says if we're insulted, so many words, if we're insulted because we're doing evil, then we deserve it. But if we're insulted or harmed for doing righteously, then we have a reward. Say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. It's from these kind of verses that the teaching originated, that our goal is heaven. No, it is not heaven. Our reward is in heaven. Our kingdom is in heaven. But according to Isaiah 61, it is coming to the earth to benefit the people of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. How many would like to fly away this morning? Come on. Like the preacher, Bishop Ulmer, I loved it. He goes like this. Come on. How many would like to fly away? You don't dare answer, do you? In your heart, you'd love to fly away. But, you know, because it really is a very refreshing and joyous message, to say the least, that this afternoon we'll be out of here. Isn't that good news? Good news to the natural man, for sure. But if God did that with his church, what about the people in the world? No, I don't care about them. Somebody said when they were going up, they were throwing out their credit card. Let other people pay them. Just as long as I'm happy. What about the other people in the world that have nobody to pray for them? No example before them. Oh, let them all go to hell. Let the devil take them. Let Antichrist have them. I'm up in air-conditioned comfort eating popcorn while the Jews are facing Antichrist without the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's what a gospel that is. To us four and no more. What was her last name, Wida? Vanderhoven. Oh, it was an Arab. But she worked with her husband in the Christian embassy, and she said, if the Gentiles are going to be raptured and the Jews are going to be left here, I want to stay with the Jews. And she was an Arab. But see, she taught. She was a teacher of the gospel. People, when we talk about flying out of here, what are we saying to all the people in Poway who don't know God? Take away the prayer, take away the praise, make sure that there's nothing palatable from the earth, so he turns away from it, takes his Holy Spirit, and leaves the rest of the people to perish. This is a gospel. This is probably the most self-centered error ever to be introduced into Christian thinking. For myself, I get tired sometimes. It happens. And I have senior moments, which they say now is Alzheimer, but I don't believe that. I've got a pretty good memory. And when I can't remember what I'm doing, or I think I'll forget, I write it down, or I carry around a little hand recorder. And if I don't forget to do that, no, thank God. God has given me a clear mind. Praise the Lord. But I do have my senior moments. Well, that having been said, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus of Nazareth is still anointed with the Holy Ghost. He's still filled with all the fullness of God. And he still is at hand. This person who is anointed to bring good tidings to the meek, to the poor. And you have a need this morning. I know that you do. It may be physical, it may be in your family, it may be in your own personal Christian experience. And I tell you what we're going to do this morning. We're going to stand. I'm not going to bring you up to the front, and I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to have you pray directly to Jesus. I feel that's what I should do this morning, so that you will learn that you don't have to be healed by another person. The two most dramatic healings I've had in my life. One was arthritis, and one was from strong nearsightedness that I had from the time when I was 7 years old. Were healed, both were healed instantly, and I wasn't even prayed for. And with the arthritis, I was getting ready to go to the hospital. So I like the thought that Jesus is passing this way. I wish we knew that song was on our thing, but we don't. Jesus is passing this way today. I want you to know Jesus is passing this way. Shall we stand? Not because I'm here, but because you're here and because Jesus is here. One time when I was in L.A., I've told this story many times, it had happened. It was before I was married, and I was walking the streets of L.A. Getting ready to go into an automat and get something for breakfast. And a man came by me carrying a bindle. You don't see them anymore now. They push shopping carts with all their stuff in them. But they used to have a bindle they'd carry on their shoulder, stick with all their belongings wrapped up on it. And he said, can you give me a quarter for breakfast? And I said, you come with me and we'll have breakfast. And so he came with me. I said, order whatever you want. I'll pay for it. So he did. He ordered some breakfast. And I ordered my breakfast. And we sat down at a table. And I thought, well, I've been told I'm supposed to preach to everybody I meet. I'm supposed to bring them all to Christ. And I was sitting there getting indigestion over that. And while I was doing that, this man started to talk. And he said, you know, I'm just a bum. And he said, but I'll be walking along a country road and I'll be singing Jesus is passing this way. He said, why is that? And see, in my mind, I was debating whether I was going to go to the Church of the Open Door or go to the Schuller. The Glass Cathedral wasn't built, but Schuller had a big church. I was going to go to Biola, where the Biola is a church, the Open Door in Los Angeles, or go over to Schuller. I thought, which one will I go to? And huge churches. And this man says, Jesus was a bum like me. And I'm sitting there with my mouth open. I don't think either one of us was eating. listening to this man, my radar was just twang. I thought, what's going on here? And he went on like that. And finally, he just, I guess he finished his breakfast and got up, took his spindle and went out the door. And I'm sitting there kind of stunned. And I got up and I went and I looked up and down the street and there was nobody there. It was an angel. As the Hebrew says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers because we entertain angels without realizing it. But that song has meant so much to me ever since. Jesus is passing this way today. Is there a heart that is weary? And it goes on like that. Jesus is passing this way. People, Jesus is passing this way this morning. We've had a strong meeting. And this is what the Lord gave me for us to pray. I want you to take your burden to the Lord. And cast your burden on the Lord. I want you to learn to pray. You don't. Sometimes God uses people, and sometimes the man of Galilee lays his hands on people. And I'm just going to believe that he's going to lay his hand on all of us today and answer our need. Now, there's people today, if you'd... I was going to ask you to slip up your hand, but I don't want to get into some kind of phoniness here. If you know if you have a need, just think now about a prayer. Here's this man, filled with the Spirit of God, ready to minister to his priesthood, and you're members of that priesthood. Now you think about something in your life that you really want the man to lay his hands on. Think about that right now as we're here in the presence of the Lord. And the man of Galilee is here with us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. How much more then with all the people here who love God? There am I. Jesus, we come to you this morning. The sovereign Lord has anointed you with the fullness of the Spirit, that you might bring the oil of joy for mourning, that you might bring healing. Believe God for healing, people. I've been healed miraculously. Audrey's been healed miraculously. You say, well, I prayed before and I haven't been healed. You put it this way, you haven't been healed yet. Don't quit. If there's demonic possession involved in you or in a loved one, he's good at that. That was one of the chief characteristics of his ministry, was casting out devils. He can heal AIDS. He can heal cancer. He can heal arthritis. He can heal your eyes and your ears. But he loves to be asked. Remember the lady with the issue of blood? Everybody was around him. It wasn't enough to be around him. She got down on her hands and crawled through their legs until she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, virtue has gone out of me. And the people, we're surrounding you. We're elbowing you. We're pushing you from every direction. What do you mean? Somebody touched you. Jesus said, somebody touched me. You can touch Jesus this morning. You're no better, no worse than the lady with the issue of blood. Reach out this morning. He's here. As a minister of God, I say this in the presence of Jesus. He is here. Reach out and touch him in your spirit. Ask him for something specific, whether it's demonic deliverance. And as you pray, believe. Remember Jesus said, as you ask, believe and you shall receive. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. The man of Galilee is here. Jesus of Nazareth is here. And was beaten for your healing. And he's willing to heal and deliver you, or if it's for a loved one, believe. Just as you pray, believe. You may have prayed 100 times. I don't care. Believe. And you'll have it. Hallelujah. Stay before the Lord. Don't lose your concentration. Stay before the Lord. Now, Father, we come unto you, and in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I have promised these people that he will lay his hands on those who touch him, who press through the multitude and touch the hem of his garment. Be exalted among us, Lord. Do marvelous things this morning. We have needy people here, Lord. We have people that are brokenhearted. We have people that are wondering if they're doing God's will. We have these kind of people here this morning. Jesus, and you're the answer. You're the only one that can touch and destroy the work of the wicked one. So, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, that he will meet everyone who reaches out to touch the hem of his garment. Lord, we know there is no force of darkness, none, who can stand against your power. Let the virtue of Jesus be here this morning, we pray, to touch those with needs. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Lord, help us to lay everything down, all the stuff that preoccupies us and that makes our hearts grow towards you and forget you. Help us not to be such perfectionists that everything has to be perfect in this world of things, but that only you matter and our minds and hearts set on you with peace in our hearts. Because we've laid down all our stuff and all our concerns. Help us to believe that you love us, even though we're sometimes in the wilderness and sometimes we go through unbelief. But help us to know that you are there with us in that unbelief and wilderness and discouragement. Lord, we need your love, your comfort, a touch and a word. We just need to live in your presence. We don't need anything else. We don't even need our problems answered. We know that you will answer in your own way and in your own time. But we just need you. You're the gift. You're the answer. And if we have you, we have everything we need. Temporal, we have healing, we have the restoration of our loved ones. We have everything if we have you in our hearts. And we don't have to worry that you'll answer our prayers, because you will, because that's your nature. You cannot help but be faithful, and we must remember that. And for that, Lord, I am eternally grateful. That you cannot help but be who you are, the faithful covenant Savior. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we repent for carrying our cares instead of carrying our cross. You've taught us to throw them on you, so right now we're throwing them. We're casting our cares upon you. Things that we can't resolve ourselves, but we can't quit trying. And we're taking that effort and saying, Jesus, I give it to you. I come to you, Lord. Weary, heavy laden, full of care, I give it according to your scripture. I give it, Lord, to you. Hallelujah. And repent of not carrying my cross, but carrying my cares. Oh, Lord,
we accept healing from you this morning, Lord.
We accept deliverance. We accept strength. We accept glory. We accept peace, Lord. We accept your presence. You're always here to help us, Lord. And we thank you this morning for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We praise your name. Let's praise him, people. We praise God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. You are the deliverer, and we thank you for it, Lord. In you we stand strong. In you we stand healthy and strong. Praise God, full of love, joy, and peace, because we're in you. Hallelujah. We will overcome. We will overcome. In Jesus' name, praise your name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord. I thank you, Lord, for every prayer, and I know we're going to see answers, and I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.